Blog Talk Radio.
Got her in the mood with Terrify Radio. So we were on last night with Scott Groomwald. She was listening in, and so we'll see how this goes. But I had the pleasure of actually meeting this woman along with a bunch of other great, great people in the Chicago area at the Congress Hotel, not the Congress Theater, the Congress Hotel, downtown Chicago, which seriously, look at the history of this place. It will blow your mind. But I had talked to Ursula a whole bunch of times, but schedules didn't work out to where we weren't able to meet up until this event. And we met up, and it was like we had been friends for 1,000 years. But yeah, I definitely have to say she's just, you know, huge heart, sweet woman, might, like I said, see the darker side that Scott Groomwald had created. So, also, next Tuesday, I need everybody, and pass the alarm, promote it if you can, just, you know, do me and Unknown Radio Network a favor, please. Check out Terrify on Tuesday, same time, same place as Full Spectrum. It is the 1-year anniversary of Terrify when Kevin had launched it and working with Jody and everything. Their 1-year anniversary is coming up. They're still going strong. Great, great show. We're going to have the hosts of all the shows that are on Unknown Radio Network are going to be on it. People are going to be calling in that were previous guests, and it's going to be mayhem, but it's going to be absolute fun mayhem. So you have to check that out. That's next Tuesday from 8 to 10. I will be posting the links and everything as it gets a little bit closer, so it stays fresh in everybody's mind. But that's something that I'm not going to miss. There's no way in hell I'm going to miss that show, because everybody that we have on this network is just absolutely amazing. So, speaking of absolutely amazing, Ursula, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Or I should say me, because Dennis is going to be a little bit late.
Yes. That's okay.
So,
I think we'll be okay.
How's your night going, dear?
It has been very eventful. My grandchildren set surprise visit. So I have about 5 children here with me, young children, all of the ages under 9. So other than that, busy.
How is it that
great.
Quiet around you then?
I'm in my office, and I told them if they make a sound, I may have to kill them. So their mom is here with them, so she has the kids in the other room. You may hear them, though. I mean, we just started, so.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely all right. We actually, we did one show to where the guest had no idea that they were supposed to be babysitting. And poor kid showed up at the house. So it was like a mom that wanted to tear her hair out. The kids were so loud. The dogs were barking. Like everything.
Yeah.
She was a trooper, though. She went through the whole show. And, yes, we got to hear screaming and put that down. And, you know, middle.
Yeah, you may hear that for sure. Absolutely.
So, you know, I know you probably missed the initial intro that I was doing about you from the horse's mouth. Why don't you give everybody who's listening a little bit of idea of what you do?
Well, I am a spirit medium, and what that means, you know, there's a psychic medium and there's a spirit medium. For me, and I can only tell you from my experience, I can sense. And I see spirits when they allow me to do so. Sometimes they, you know, and then I don't hear spirits normally. Usually it's sight by sight. I'm not talking about the third eye. I'm talking about visual. And I can see spirits frequently. I also have the ability to know things about people that I would not normally know. So I also am a reader as well. I really don't like using the word psychic. I just don't. It's just something about that word bothers me. just a personal preference. I know I don't know the future. I don't know too many people that do. There's sometimes messages that are given to me that you need to know, and I'm able to receive those from time to time. I also host haunted locations events for people who want to get into overnight event and, you know, do ghost hunting, which I do not ghost hunt. If I want to do that, I can sit in my kitchen and do that. But I do like to host events that, you know, you can get them, you know, you see my perspective of the place. And a lot of times a loved one would come through. That has happened majority of my events for people. And that's pretty much what I do in a nutshell.
So,
in the layman terms of what I do.
Yeah, and, you know, there's, I'm not going to use the P word because I don't, you know, but then it starts to get all messed up and okay, basically what had happened of my idea and perception of quote-unquote psychics, if you will,
mm-hmm.
is I really, you know, I knew a couple people that said that they were and stuff when I first started out, and I kind of, you know, my mind works in more of a scientific way than as far as the psychological end of it goes.
Yeah.
But all of these psychics hit at once with all the same information from across the country. It was the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it happened when Jeff Mudgett was in town. I was with Jeff Resman and Nancy Resman, and Jeff wrote down on a piece of paper, and I have it. I still have the piece of, well, it wasn't a piece of paper. We were out at my favorite, and if you ever make it out into the Naperville area, hopefully soon you can. And
okay.
We had to go for sushi and some hibachi at this place.
That sounds fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So he writes down on the piece of paper, he writes down 5'5", blonde hair, short, early mid-20s, and it was on the chopstick paper when you have to rip the paper open and take the chopsticks out. So
mm-hmm.
he writes it down on that, and he just slides it across the table. And I'm like, okay, what, you know, what's this? He goes, oh, well, she's been watching you for like the last hour. So I'm like, well, okay, 5'5", blonde, short, real cute. Like, you know, where the hell is she? she's been peeping me for an hour? Like, okay. And so I said it kind of jokingly, and because I thought he was like, hey, you know, this chick's checking you out, you know, why don't you take a look over there?
Right, right.
And I was like, and I asked him flat out, I said, well, where's she at? He goes, well, she's here, but she's not with us. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm like, well, that doesn't help. So start going through everything. And by the way, for everybody listening, I am single, so I was, it's not like I was like, oh, it's launching, check
just
me out.
Just in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, I'm not married, no kids, like I'm not a cheater, like none of that. So
please,
we start. What's up?
I said, please call in if you're interested.
Yeah. So I started asking him questions a little bit about it, because that was like the first actual encounter. Like, no, her focus is on you. And I'm like, well, why would the focus be directly on me and nobody, like somebody who can communicate with this person or that sees her and all this, like, why wouldn't the focus be directed that way?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'm like, do you have a name? You know, I said, obviously you have a description so you can see her. I'm like, do you have a name or anything? And he goes, well, he's like, give me a second here. And I started thinking about it and, you know, focusing on it a little bit more. And he hits me back. He goes, I'm getting an Aubrey or an Audrey, and she's telling me that there's something more. There's something more to this. And it's like, no, now she's telling me I'm wrong. Well, that may just seem like a, where the hell is he going with this? So I'll cut to the chase real quick. what he was talking about is there's a place that Mark and I checked out. It was an urban legend. And so we were just looking for kind of a practice place to go. It's only like 5 minutes from Mark's house. It's a road. And so we're like, yeah, what the hell? You know, go check out the urban legend, see if we can dig up anything, any truth to it, because every urban legend starts with some truth. So start messing with it. I have a 157-page police report of a girl, of a 5'5" blonde girl in her mid-20s named Audrey Moore that died, and her body was found on Cherry Road.
Wow.
So all these pieces just fit together, like, from what he was describing, and Jeff knows absolutely nothing about this. He knows nothing about Audrey. We didn't discuss it. It had been a while since we had been out there last time. But he said, he goes, no, she's around you a lot. Like, she finds, like, peace being around you and stuff. I'm like, so, in that, when it comes down to, like, the psychic stuff, that was my first introduction to it, to where it was something that actually really, really hit home. The question I still had, because it comes to everybody differently, like, when an entity approaches you, or a spirit, or whatever approaches you, what exactly are they showing? Like, what pops in your head, or what do you physically see about the person?
You know,
that
I'm
going to
tell you, it's not like someone is bending over. Now, this is just me personally. It's not like someone's bending over, whispering something in my ear. It's more of a thought process, you know, as just as simple as a person would think to go get a drink of water. Or, oh, I forgot to turn the TV off. It's a thought. It's just a thought. I had to learn how to trust my thoughts. You know, and it's not in a different voice. Or, you know, the sky open up and angels come flying down and there's a big map of everything. No, it's, for me, it's just a thought process. It's my own thought. But you know that it's not your thought. You know, because why would I be thinking this? This has nothing to do with me. And that's how things are perceived towards me. I can give you an example. It's a very personal example, but it's an example. When my mother passed about 2.5 years ago now, it was a very long process. It was 3 days. It felt like forever. Right before she passed, I was in the bathroom. You know, and this is not just even any type of sensitivity thing. I think with everyone, people can feel when something's going to happen. Some people get nervous. Some people start sweating. Some people's stomach gets messed up, you know, and you have to go to the bathroom. Well, for me, that was what happened right before she passed in the hospital. You know, my stomach just went into a knot. And prior to that, my husband was telling me, you need to just say out loud that she can go. He said, you know you need to say this. I didn't want to say this. You know, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not ready to say, you know, say this. But I knew I needed to say it. As I was coming upstairs, my stomach just turned into a knot. So I had to run to the bathroom. As I was sitting on the toilet, this is going to be canon, but you can't make this shit up. As I was sitting on the toilet, you know, I'm crying. I'm saying, Mama, you know, you can go. It's okay. I'm going to be all right. We're going to be all right. A thought came in my head, you're wiping your ass too hard. Now, you might say, what does that mean? But I am 43 years old. I've been wiping my ass for quite some time. If you knew my mother, you would know she said weird shit like that. You know, your bra's too tight, or that shirt is too, you know, you can see your nip. Just weird shit, okay? Just strange, random stuff, she would say. And I knew that I was not telling myself that I'm wiping my ass too hard. You know, and it wasn't no romantic or movie type, I love you, I'm going to miss you type of message. She told me I was wiping my ass too hard. And that is how, that, you know, I'm using that as an example, but that is how it comes for me. It's like a thought process. You know, that thought interrupted what I was feeling and thinking regarding of my mother passing, that I was wiping myself too hard. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know it's a crazy one, but like I said, you can't make this shit up. you know.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with that. So that is the best example I can give you with that.
See, and that's, you know, it's amazing to me of how diverse the reception for a psychic or medium or sensitive or, you know, spiritual.
Absolutely,
or whatever.
Some people see images. You know, some people use as images. And I use, for me, I have snippets of thoughts that doesn't apply to me. But, you know, it took me a while to be able to trust that and not question it. So if I'm reading someone, I don't question it. You know, I'm like, okay, this may sound crazy, but, you know, it sounds crazy to me, but it won't sound crazy to them. You know, and that took some time to be able to trust that. You know, sometimes I get images and, you know, bits of, you know, a necklace or something, you know, but there's still a thought process. It's a thought. It's me thinking about a necklace. It's not me actually seeing the necklace, you know?
Yeah.
You know, a thought of a necklace will come in my head. Not, you know, all of a sudden, I picture a necklace. You understand? But
yeah.
I guess if you think about it, if you're thinking about it, you're going to picture it as well. That's how the brain works.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent
a lot
of money
this,
to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. You say
I
what?
I spent a lot of money in college to figure that out.
And, you know, and let me say this. I don't claim to be an expert. I don't believe in experts. You know, that word actually offends me because I don't know what school or book or shaman you have been to that makes you an expert. And I believe, and notice the words I'm using, I believe, until we pass over, then death maybe will possibly become an expert, but I think even then we'll be learning, okay? There's no expert in this. This is the only thing I can perceive to you is what happens to me. My job is not to convince anybody of shit, you know, that's not my job. My job is to give you what you, if you want me to, if to receive it the way you receive it and move it along, you know? You know, I'm not going to preach to you or make you believe something. For what? I'm content on what I believe in. And I'm going to tell you, too, if somebody tells you they're happy with seeing ghosts, either they're lying or they're fucking crazy. Because I am far from that. This is something that I had to come to grips with, and I run from it. And I think probably once a month I say I'm done with this shit, you know, at least. But, you know, you can't run from who you are. You either sink and swim, and today I'm swimming. Tomorrow I may be sinking. You have to ask me tomorrow.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That's extremely, extremely well said. You know, I've talked to people that will contradict somebody else, and they'll be like, no, I know because of this. It's like, you don't know a fucking
thing.
We don't know. That's your perception.
That's, you know, and I just, so funny, I just posted this. Somebody was going on and on about demons and shit. I'm sorry, I might be cursing. This is how I am. I'm just very candid. They were going on and on Facebook about this and one of these little things here. And, you know, I said, you know, why do people not say in my opinion? You know, everyone, it's okay to have opinion, but don't say something as if you are the holy grail of knowledge because we're not. We're not. You know, let's be realistic here. We don't know. We're learning. We all are always learning.
Well,
you
and
know?
We were talking about that shit last night, too. I mean,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't.
I could have probably just flew out of my window. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My head was spinning in here.
Yeah, I know from the back and forth that we were having. Yeah,
yes.
I know you're a little bit upset about that.
Like, what the fuck?
Here's a perfect example for everybody. I don't give a shit what field you're in. This is a perfect example. Look at NASA and their infinite funding and all the shit that they learn about space daily.
Daily.
And there's not an expert. I know people who work at NASA, and they say the same thing. There is not a single person who would say, I'm an expert on the Crab Nebula. You may have done
the
most
massive
work.
There's, you could spend a lifetime trying to explore space, you know, or underwater, or anything for that matter. I mean, it's absurd. Expert so-and-so. What? Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Can you please write down the school you went to? Because I would like to throw that behind my name as well. You know, it's ridiculous.
And also your professor, or, you know, a string of professors when you went for your doctorate, if you're an expert and you know absolutely everything about everything that has to do with a certain subject, you must have learned from God himself.
Absolutely. You was at his classroom. And I really doubt that that happened. So let's just, you know, stop with the expert shit already. It's really ridiculous.
And the other thing in this field that I've learned too is, you know, there's yes, there are people who are a lot more knowledgeable than other people.
Absolutely.
And that comes with research. That comes with, you know, time, dedication, everything. But so I mean, it's not like you and I are saying don't listen to these people who know more than you.
No, not at all.
Keep an open mind about, hey, you know what? Maybe you're going to develop of not knowing a damn thing, really. Maybe you're going to develop the next groundbreaking thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's like saying I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh, you know? Like that. What was it? That State Farm commercial.
Exactly.
Where, they can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Exactly. You know. You know, you have to be open to this, and you can't just sign up and say this is it, this is all, because as you mentioned, we're always learning something on a continuous basis. So things change on a daily basis regarding any profession, I believe, not just what we do, but anything. So, you know, there's always we're students. I always say we all are students. You know, and until we're done learning completely. And that's never going to happen. Then the expertise come in, but that's, you know, it's we're learning. We're continuously learning. You know, my goodness, a lot of people don't even want to acknowledge that this is even real with spirits, you know?
Yeah.
So how can you be an expert on it? Because if you're an expert on it, that means you can prove to these people that by the shut up of the doubt that these entities are real, and no one can do that because a person's going to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, and I always
say,
and everybody, if Ursula is saying it, you better write that shit down.
No, because I'm not an expert.
No, but I'm just saying that you're saying, that you're just saying.
I'm just saying, you know, in my opinion.
And that's the biggest thing, and I know that there's people who are out there, and I'm friends with them and stuff, and this isn't a stab at anybody or anything like that. Seriously, for what you do and what we do and everything, just all of us in the field, it's the self-proclaimed shit, because that's really all it is.
That's what it is, you know, and that's fine. You know, but you know what? I'm going to tell you what really bothers me about it. It's not the self-proclaimed. It's that you possibly maybe giving people the wrong idea, you know. And then, unfortunately, some instill fear into others. And they may not, and I'm not saying that this is they're doing this on purpose. I just feel that some people need to be more responsible for the information that they're giving out. And they also have the word expert on their name. That is my concern. That's my concern, because some people, because you're saying that, you know, you've proclaimed yourself to be this, they're taking what you're saying at heart, literally.
Yeah.
You know, and they're closing their thoughts around about anything else. And that is what, bothers me about it. Not that you could call yourself Oscar Minor Wiener, if all I care. But I'm saying, if you're going to do that, just be responsible of the information that you're that you're giving out to people. That's all.
Yeah, and
that's,
I mean, you know, and here's something completely, completely acceptable in my mind. If you call yourself an EVP specialist, or you call it, like, if that's what your main focus is.
Well, that's what you specialize in. I can roll with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that would be accurate. That's accurate. You know, that would be fine. Yeah.
So speaking of back to the space stuff and all that, look at Michio Kaku, who was, the Asian guy with the gray hair. That mm-hmm. dude is smart as hell.
I mean, scary smart.
Yeah. Or mm-hmm. Stephen Hawking or any of those. I mean, they're just brilliant minds.
Yeah.
And people go to them for knowledge, for questions, for stuff like that, but... And I've never seen anything that has to do with expert around their title whatsoever.
Right, right, right. But they specialize in that field, and that's okay. That's accurate. You know, it's just
yeah.
that you know, it's just there's so much to live up to that expert word there. You know.
Yeah.
And you know the reason why I'm bringing this up because you know why, because it's last night.
Yeah.
That really bugged the shit out of me. So I wouldn't be me unless I threw it up in here.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you notice, there's no names being drawn. There's no nothing.
Absolutely
just,
not.
Just a thought. Just an idea.
Just a thought process. Just,
you know,
kicking the shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The one question I have for you, honestly, like when did this... All this stuff start, like, do you remember the first thing that it was like, wow.
Well, okay. This is my family. I come from a long line of, they don't call themselves mediums, but talking about spirits in my family is talking about passing bread. Okay, so, you know, I grew up around this. You know, my grandmother had an exorcism in her kitchen. She wasn't performing, but a close family friend was. So this stuff has been around me forever, since I can remember. There's been different things that happened to me throughout my life. I mean, I can't remember anything specific, but I ran from it, like I said. That was what they did, not me. I didn't wake up and want to do this. This was not my career choice. Okay, so, and then another thing, you know, I had a very, very, what's the word I'm looking for, disruptive young adulthood. So that pretty much closed everything off for me. You know, I'm a bad marriage, crazy young adulthood. So really things didn't start kicking up until I became settled in my life. When... You know, I was more focused and was paying attention to my surroundings. And even then, I thought that I had a brain tumor. You know, I told my husband, I said, I think I may be dying or something. You know, the first thing you don't think about is paranormal. You know, that's the last thing that came in my mind. I thought I had a brain tumor. You know, I went to have tests and things. I really thought I was messed up. And then after that, you know, then it's the house, okay. And he reminded me, well, Ursula, when we were living in the apartment, this was happening too. And see, the thing about it was, he kind of was, you know, like, well, you can't say it's you because it's your brain, because I've seen things, but it happens around you, you know. So he was trying to say, you know, no, the house is haunted. You may be haunted, you know. So that freaked me out more. So little by little, you know, I was seeing things, hearing things. I got scratched, actually, in my house before. Unlike others, I did not think it was a demon. I was, you know, my first thought was, okay, maybe I couldn't think I rubbed myself on a wall or anything because it happened in front of my husband. He left me, actually. I was scared. You know, thanks, Jim, for being brave with me. He ran out the house and went to work. My sister, my baby sister, said to me, someone's trying to contact you, and she's not even into this type of stuff. So I kept, you know, I thought about that. My husband was hearing my name called in here. Then the people started showing up, and it was like, holy shit. The thing about that is my 21-year-old daughter, also this was happening to her as well. and she and I wasn't, it got to the point where, and this is like about 5 years ago, where it was full force for me. It got to the point where we would just write down what we see so we wouldn't influence one another, you know?
Yeah.
And then we would we'd wait till my husband come home and let him read it out loud to us. And it'd be the same thing. So to answer your question, because I do tend to ramble, what was your question again?
Oh, no, just how long this has been going on for you and when you figured it out, when you started to develop it.
Well, it's like I said, it was going on since the childhood. But, you know, when you're a child, it's kind of, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal, you know. You try to find ways to explain it, you know, dismiss it. I would tell my grandmother, and she would say, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, or my mom. Yeah, you know, because one just walked over here, you know, and they weren't helping, you know, because it was normal to them. Well, it wasn't normal to me. So, you know, living with that was a little difficult, but I just dismissed it. And then, as I said, as, you know, a young adulthood, like in my 20s, I was in a very long, toxic, dangerous relationship that stopped everything altogether because I was focused on that. I couldn't focus on anything else. So it started as a child, and then I had a stretch where nothing was going on because I had my brain was being preoccupied with other madness. You understand? So once I got out of that situation and was settled in my life, things start kicking up again, but on full force. Okay? So we're talking 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. So
recognizing it and acknowledging it to 5 years ago. Okay. But I was reading people all the whole time. My friends and everything would come to me, and I didn't know that's what I was doing. It was just a natural thing. You know, and my mother told me, you know, you realize you're reading people when you're doing that. No, I didn't. We had a family reader, by the way. You know how people go to church? We would go to a family reader. Each one of the adults would go in the room and come out with candles and incense. I thought that was normal. Do you know what a reader
yeah.
is, by the way? Okay.
I, you know what, from
and we
all
still
the
do actually. Hmm?
From all the definitions that people have thrown out and stuff, I don't know if I know what it is.
Well, it's a spiritual person, and you know, it's you know, they it's a spiritual, you know, they spiritual counsel you, and that's basically really what I do. Okay, is a spiritual counselor, and you don't tell people what to do. You give them the tools to realize what they need to do themselves. That's how I basically work. I don't like to, you know, I don't like, you know, people come to me for answers. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling about the situation, what I'm picking up, or whatever it is, that may be. But it's up to you to make that decision. So that is what a true reader is, okay? It's not a person that's going to say, now listen, you need to go home and play these lottery numbers and don't go out Thursday because you're going to get hit by a car. That's that's not what that's about. It's about, you know, helping you figure out what you need to know through you.
Well, if you see that, though, or if you get that feeling or that message that somebody is going to be hit by a car. I mean, you know, how do you?
You know. Usually, I've never think knock on wood, haven't got, but I have gotten some or sickness or illness that's coming. You know, and see, I think for some, this is like, you know, I notice some things. I think when I do, when I would dream, because my dreams are very vivid. When I would dream, it would never be the person that it's going to happen to. It would be in the opposite. So if it's a male, I would see a female. You know, and regarding, we're talking about death.
Yeah.
Example, I dreamt my stepmother fell off a ladder and broke her neck. I was 16. And it was actually my grandmother's brother that happened to.
But,
and I think it's because there's certain things we just don't supposed to know. Because fate is fate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once again, that's this is my perception of things.
Well, yeah, you look at, you know, the series. It's not even just a movie that I can reference, but there was a whole series of the Final Destination movies, to where the one dude saw what was going to happen, and then he was going to beat
and then
death
they changed it, but guess what? It happened anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
But it happened in a different
anyway.
Sequence. And so.
Yeah. But it was all the same result.
Yeah.
It was all the same result.
And you know what? I don't give a shit. The actual true result of life is death.
Absolutely. We are born to die.
When and how?
We're born to die, as my grandmother would always say. We're born to leave this earth. We're born to leave this body, our shell, I should say, because we don't die. Energy does not die. And this is my opinion, once again, you know, from experience and things of that nature. We don't, you know, it's like a car. Once that car is done, we move on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, but we're born to shed this skin, absolutely. What,
well,
when and where? You know, we don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that.
I'm not sure
if
I want to know that, to be honest with you.
I don't want to know how much time I have left. What I
or anybody
do,
for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be able to walk up to somebody and be like, "Dude, today's your last day."
Right, or even have that information. That's a lot of stress to have that. It's difficult enough for me to know something about somebody when I know I don't supposed to. You know, that's why I don't really do any counseling sessions or anything like that with families or friends, because I just don't want to know that. And then sometimes, you know, you can't help but it comes into you anyway, and I don't care how. Sometimes it makes you look at the person a little different depending on what it is you're picking up. You know, I'm not an angel. You know, it's only so much shit you can handle, you know, and play poker face with it. So, you know, I try to stay away from that.
You know, and I can see that and being a hindrance on personal relationships, too, because if you get something that comes through,
yeah,
and it's something that you're like, whoa, it changes your perception.
And
that
has,
that
you believe me, that happens more than, you know. And then I have to figure out how to way to tell this person this without, you know, devastating them. It's I wouldn't change what I do, but it's very difficult. Because not everything is about roses and puppy dogs and, you know.
Yeah.
And you're going to live a wonderful life and you're going to be happy. And it's not always the case.
Yeah. It's,
more
it's,
not than of, than so.
Yeah, not everything is the lighter side. I mean, if you get the dark stuff that comes through,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's hard of how do you choose whether or not you're going to say, you know, yes, this, that, or the other thing, you know, and
then
and
I'm
going to
tell you something, too.
There.
People don't always want to know the truth. They will get upset with you and angry, you know. Oh, you're no good. You're not good, you know, because they don't want to know
yeah.
the truth. They want you to, you know, tell them what you want to hear. I don't do that. I refuse to do that. So I'm like, this is like in my mind. If you don't want to know, don't ask me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I'm not the one. You know, actually, even where I work, you know, people have reviewed and they say, you know, if you don't like directness, she may not be the one that you want. Because I'm very blunt, and that's the only way I know how to be. You know, I can't be any other way. You know, of course,
yeah.
I'm compassionate and as much as possible, but I'm not going to, like I said, I can't, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do.
Well, and I tell everybody the same thing on a psychological level if people ask me for advice or, you know, anything like that. If
exactly.
that's the case, if you can't handle the answer, don't even ask the question.
Exactly. But people do anyway. We tend to do that anyway. You know, and most of the time people respect the fact that I'm being honest with them. Sometimes it's a person needs to hear that too. So, you know, it's both. It's both. You know, it's good and bad. You know, it's good and bad to everything. It really is. It's good and bad to everything. I wouldn't change a thing. What would I do? I wouldn't want to do anything else. But there is good and bad to everything.
Yeah, and I think Dennis just messaged me on Facebook. I think he's going to be joining us shortly. But, you know, his situation, totally, totally different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where this isn't something that he's had since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's nailed stuff. Like he can actually do remote readings. And
mm-hmm.
He can tell you the layout of your house, and he's obviously never been there. He's in Richmond, Virginia.
But let me tell you, everyone has this ability. This is not something that is a corner of a little world, you know, piece of the world that only certain people can do this. Everyone has this ability. Everyone on the face of the planet. Just like some people can sit down at a piano and play Mozart without knowing any type of, having any type of lessons. And there are some people that has to practice, but they'll eventually master it. You know, it's the same thing here. Everyone has this ability. So to hear that he, you know, it's the only difference between him and I was exposed to it younger. I was aware of it younger.
Yeah.
This was a part of my family, what I grew up in. That's the only difference. The only difference.
Yeah. And he and I did a test on it because I was told by a few different strong psychics as I started to have them knocking at my door on the phone, so to speak, is if this is something, like, you don't dip your toe in the water. If this is something you want to pursue, dive into it head first. You know what I mean? Like, don't test it and then back out and test it and back out and all that stuff. No.
I learned that the hard way, actually. They're absolutely right. You can't do that. You can't. You can't.
Yeah, so we did a test to where he was, you know, he asked me, he's like, well, what am I wearing? And just a simple thing just to see what kind of stuff I could do. And
mm-hmm.
I nailed what he was wearing. I nailed what, and he's like, well, what's Hope, his wife? He's like, well, what's she wearing? And I nailed
mm-hmm.
what she was wearing and a couple other things. And so I was like, wow.
And that sounds like remote, or like you're doing remote viewing there.
Yeah, and I'm like, apparently I must have something. But
I can guarantee you, you do, because everyone does.
Yeah, and but if
some
came
people
to that
can
point
tune
of,
into theirs more better than others. That's all.
Yeah, and it came into that. It's like, you know what? Make the choice. Do you want this or do you not want it? And I chose to not pursue it.
I remember hearing you say that before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want somebody that I can't see, or, you know, have to figure out how to do all this, all the shielding shit and, like, you know, everything. I don't want that. I have enough.
And that's okay.
And that's, yeah. And
yeah,
Dennis
okay. I can understand that. Believe me.
Dennis said the same thing. He's like, man, he goes, I have enough voices in my head. He goes, I don't need.
You know
I
what?
Knock
on wood, I think if I heard them as well, I'd probably be a lunatic. I'd probably be in a nut house someplace. I'm just not trying to do that. Yeah, I don't want to hear. And that happens sporadically. It's not a constant. And,
Yeah.
Some people,
and,
you know, like I said, some people enjoy it, hearing and things of that nature. So I'm gonna tell you, sometimes I just want to be a wife and a mother and just chill out. And that's not an option. You know, I hear people say, just tell them to leave. Well, some of them don't just do that. You know, just leave because you tell them to leave. don't happen just like that, like so nicely like that.
Dennis is actually with us now, and I don't know, Dennis, is that you making all that damn noise or what?
It is very loud in there.
Well, that would probably be my flipping pack. Not only my pack, we have gained my daughter and son-in-law's pack, probably another day or so. So what you're hearing are, well, four rather large pit bulls, and the noisiest bastard of them all would be the Jack Russell. But yes, I have arrived, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, Ursula. How are you tonight, darling?
I can't hardly hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, now, see, you can hardly hear me because, well, actually, I don't have anything else going on in the background. Everybody stopped and not
moving. Okay, it's me. I turned my mic up. Go ahead.
But, yes, I am here, and I said, good evening, darling, and how are you?
I'm good. Just venting.
I certainly understand that, trust me. It's been a rather trying weekend, and you know, here we are at what, well, my time anyway, almost 10 o'clock Wednesday. The last 5 days have been quite trying for my family. So, yeah, I certainly understand.
We're on the NIDA note. Good to hear from you. Glad you're here.
Well, thank you, darling.
Oh, and you come just about when I have to go in. Gosh.
Oh, well. But I do have to agree with a few of the points. I was actually in the truck, so I was able to listen. Expert, yeah, what a broadly overused word.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the way that you say spirit comes to you, where it's a thought that you know damn well it can't be your own thought, because why the hell would I be thinking this?
Yeah.
I get the same exact things, and mm-hmm. just out of nowhere, I get this random thought, and I'll go, well,
Complication
point, Matt mentioned Cherry Road. You know, my thought was, why the hell would I see a purple Dodge Neon?
Mm-hmm.
I damn sure wouldn't consciously want to see a purple Dodge Neon.
Exactly.
But it was how spirit presented itself
the door.
And what they gave me.
That's exactly. And, you know, it's just up to us to perceive what type of message that is or, you know, hopefully, perceive it correctly. Because no one's perfect.
Right.
No.
Well, I mean, I will have to admit, though, I have never had spirit tell me that I'm wiping my ass too hard.
Well, that was my mother. If you knew her, you would be like, yeah, that was your mother. Because she said things like that. And I had to laugh, actually, you know.
Well, actually, I had to laugh because I think your mother and my father, they may have been in some weird, twisted past life.
They
either
could have
one
been.
In the same, or they were.
She would say the most oddest shit ever.
Yeah, my dad could say some off-the-wall shit that
I mean,
you just
off
have
the
to
wall.
Look at anyway. You would have to look at him and go, what the hell?
Yeah, like
that
if I'm in a room full of people, she'll ask me if I have a bra on or something. You know what? You know, things like that. Like, oh, my God.
I think that your mom and his dad were reincarnated in Scott Grunewald.
Oh, God. It said Glenn.
Oh, my Lord.
No filter either. He has no filter either. But he's funny as hell. I have to give him that. But
yeah,
I love Scott to death. He is funny as hell. And he never... He never ceases to make me laugh. You never know what the hell's going to come out of his head, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I know that type of person. That's how she was. And almost frightened, afraid it was going to come out of there.
Exactly. I mean, with Scott, there was, you know, most people have this, like, well, we call it a filter. You know, they have a thought. They go, yeah, I probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a perfect way to say that. No filter.
Yeah, I think his filter was renewed, kind of like we do most circumcisions. They circumcised his filter, I think. But, I mean, you got to love him because he just has that personality that is just right.
Yeah, he seems like a blast. Like he would be a blast to hang out with.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why in the hell tonight I have so much background noise when I normally don't. But for some reason, my phone is picking up every damn noise. It's like a mic on the phone itself is still working too. So hang on just a minute, and I'm going to unplug and plug back in to see if I can fix this.
So, Ursula, what did you think of the rest of the show after Scott was off? And did you listen to it after I called in?
I did. At least I did. one were we talking about? I listened to two shows. So.
The one
a little better from my side. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Oh, no.
Ursula
was listening to Terrify after Scott got off the air, and so was Jody, Kevin, and I. But then Megan called in, and so it was Megan, Jody, Kevin, and I. And it didn't lighten up at all. It was just, it was raunch most of the show.
I can't imagine that.
Like, dude, if you go back and you listen to the archive, you'll probably drop the CPR name and not be friends with me anymore.
Uh-huh.
No.
Got a little wacky.
Remember how I welcomed Scott into the darkness a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you really think you'd top that?
Just your personal perception of me might change.
Well, yeah, because I thought so highly of you. I mean, you were on like a pedestal. God, get over yourself, dude. Really?
The one thing I don't know if you know or not, but Dennis has always lived in Richmond. He was never like here and part of CPR and moved out there and started the team or anything like that. But I went to Richmond for an event and ended up meeting Dennis and just became, I mean, we're like brothers. We're not like, you know, just friends.
Mm-hmm.
So his mom and my mom share the same womb and all that stuff. Like I said, I mean we're just, you know, close as hell. So,
awesome.
But Dennis was with a group and I wanted to start his own group, and I was so enamored with his ideas and his thought process and everything. It was just like exactly like holy shit. He just absolutely blew me away, like extremely, extremely knowledgeable in so many different areas of everything. So that's where
Matt had a man crush.
that's where the whole he's CPR, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers East. He's a satellite team in Richmond, which
uh-huh.
I I never thought of starting, so I was thinking like, oh, CPR, blah, blah. You know, we're around here. We got to put a name to this when Mark and I started it. But, and so it was a little bit confusing at that at that time when it's like, well, what the hell are we going to call me? Like, CPR Beast? And is what Dennis thought of. It's like, sure.
Yeah, let's see, what are we, CPR RVA, shit, we're East. Well, there we go, CPR East.
Now, sounds good to me.
Trying to explain Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers East. Yeah, we're way the hell east. Get over it. There's no definition in distance. So, yeah, it works.
East of Chicago is the damn lake. So, obviously, you got to be on the other side of the pond somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I could care less.
It works.
But, you know, I mean, I was with a team that was, well, I mean, I'm not going to knock them. They were all very qualified. But they were at a point where they had done it for so long that they were pretty much burnt out. The leader of the team stated that, you know, he had proven everything that he set out to prove. That there is such thing as life after death. There is spirit communication. So he no longer had the desire to keep pushing himself to find more and different and strange things. Whereas for me, my goal, I already knew there was life after death. I already knew there was spirit.
Right. That's how I was with my group. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, my goal is to prove why. So move on. Well, I'll give you a perfect example. And this happened to me last night. Well, I'll set a little foundation story on this. My wife went home with a piece of paper one night from work, and she said, tell me about this person. And I rattled off for 10 minutes about this individual whose name was written on a piece of paper. I mean, I nailed everything. I described him. I'd never met the man.
Uh-huh.
My wife had met him. I described his house and described his concerns, his fears, his likes, everything. It was like just all of a sudden all of this information was dumped on me, just out of nowhere.
I understand.
Well,
last
night I had the same thing happen where I was given a name on a piece of paper and I couldn't get shit. Actually, I got just, you know, that little part of your mind that kind of sees something when you start reading?
Yes.
All I saw was grayness.
Mm-hmm.
And it made no sense to me. And it still makes no sense why that one just threw absolutely nothing. Now, you know, you mentioned remote view. I did one for someone that Matt's very close friends with, 950 miles from me. I'd never seen a picture of the property. I described the property. But there was one building that was solid black. It was like there was a curtain drawn across in front of that building. Well, a female that has psychic abilities also was able to see in the building, the land, and everything. And she said, well, the entity that's in there, the energy that's there, does not like men. So you will never be welcome to see his area. That's where he stays, and you'll never be welcome to see it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
so
makes sense.
My question is on, and I hate to make it sound so blasé, on just a typical person that has passed, spirit now.
Mm-hmm.
When you draw an absolute blank and you cannot get anything, and I've, trust me, I've pretty damn close to obsessed over it for a full day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you take from that? What do you think is going on? Is it just that they don't want to talk to you, or, you know, I realize that I'm in a stressful situation right now with, you know, a funeral and a very...
Sometimes you have to pull yourself back from that situation, because it could mean a lot of things. It's just not one thing here. It can mean that you're, just like you said, you're too stressed out to pick it up, okay? It can mean there's no message to be given. Sometimes there is just no message. You know, there's just nothing to say. You know, sometimes the person is not familiar with you, and they, or for some reason, just don't want to talk to you. You know, I mean, you know, there could be a number of reasons. It does not mean that you're not. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've gotten that one, and I have to tell you that I had a friend ask me, you know, I would dearly love to talk to so-and-so. This person is such and such relative of mine.
Yes.
And I said, well, I'll try to see what I can get. And
yes.
I immediately got, and listeners, you know, normally we, you know, I don't care. The first thing that I got, well, who the fuck are you? And why
mm-hmm.
are you bothering me?
Mm-hmm.
And I...
And sometimes, you know, I don't think people realize some spirits just don't want to be fucked with, period.
Well,
I
told the person that was asking me that, well, this is what I got. And they busted up laughing, and they said, oh, my God, that's got to be my grandma, because that would be
because
the way
that was the mannerism
talk.
That they said it. Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, it was...
Because, you know, it's funny that you just said that, because you did get something. You got their energy.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that so much, because sometimes you can just describe how you, and this happened to me before, I can describe how a person is standing. Or the, like, you know, I'll maybe say, you know, this person is very loud. You know, you pick up the fact that they talk loud, you know, and, you know, and a lot of times I don't pick up a message, but I can pick up their personality. Like, I may say, okay, this person, if they said something, they meant it. They didn't talk a lot, but whenever they did talk, you need to listen because it was important. You know, something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not always about a verbal, you know, connection. It's about any connection. You know, any connection that is going to be familiar to the person you're reading. And a lot of times, like I think I mentioned to Matt, sometimes you may get something and it doesn't make no sense at all. It could be just one word, you know, a song or something, but it would mean everything to that person. And I learned that don't think about it, just say it, because it's not meant for you, it's meant for them.
Well, let me ask you this. I missed the beginning of this, so I don't know your background. I don't know how long you've been able to talk to spirit. I had spirit come to me the other night. Young woman that I've never met. She's, I don't know how far away. She's in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
She is the sister of a person that I met through a girl that I pretty much consider my little sister. So my little sister is her sister's pretty much best friend. We both come in the normal post, and she sent me a friend request. Well, I didn't even know. She has some off-the-wall name. It's not a, like, person's name. So I didn't know if it was male or female. Never bothered, never took the time to look at the profile or anything. I just, okay, well, you sent me a friend request. I accepted. This person posted a status that gave me a very uneasy feeling, and immediately I got assailed by energies.
Mm-hmm.
That wanted me to set her mind at ease. That was just what I got. Now, for those that don't understand what we do or what we feel or what we sense, it is an absolute overpowering feeling when you are just all of a sudden bombarded with
and,
energy.
And you also, you can't dismiss it. You have to deliver it. You know, you can't walk away from it because it consumes you.
Yeah, they will. Spirit, as I've discovered, doesn't have a schedule, and to hell with yours.
No.
So, what I got given to me, well, at first I told her that your status bothers me, and I would like to see if I can help.
Mm-hmm.
I sent her a Facebook message, still not knowing anything about her. I just went by what energy told me to do, what spirit told me to do, which was to set her mind at ease. So I sent her a Facebook message, and I said, hey, I don't know you. You know, we have a mutual friend, but I'm supposed to set your mind at ease. And she says, well, that's wonderful. I'm an open book. What do you have? Well, I gave her the first thing that was given to me from spirit was just calm down and everything will be fine. Trust us. Well, then the answer that I got was, what the hell does that mean? I'm going to need more than that to go on. I said, all right, well, and I gave her a description of a man that presented himself to me. And I said, does he mean anything to you? No, not that I can think of. I'll need more than that to believe anything. I said, all right, well, how in-depth do you want me to get? Because I'm getting a lot of information that you may or may not like me to relay to you. She's like, I really don't give a shit. Whatever you want to say, say. You know, I'm a strong enough person that, you know, I'll tell you to fuck off if I need to. And I said, all right, well, I get a familial tie. I also get that there was abuse. I get that you were abused by, sexually abused.
Yeah.
Sexual abuse by a family member, but I get a separation in the family, in the familial section of it, which means that it's like an uncle, but he wasn't really an uncle. And I'm getting uncle or grandfather, but he's not really family. She said, the one line that I will remember from that chat for the longest time is OMFG.
Mm-hmm.
That was my step-grandfather. And I went, is the description accurate? And she said, as if you're looking at a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you have stepped out in... Yes?
Real quick, Ursula's got to go. She's got family and stuff over.
Okay, well, one last question, and this is what that was all leading up to, Ursula. Would you have stepped out into such a delicate situation and thrown that at them as well?
Absolutely. I have done it before. I have done it. You know, I have right away before you even said that, I knew you were this person that clearly had some sexual abuse going on here. I have done this before because sometimes a person needs to know this, and they almost want you to tell them this. And this person kept asking you to be honest too. So, and I don't think you did anything wrong. I would have did the same. I would have did the exact same thing that you did. You know, because she really needed to hear the original message that you were trying to give to her, and she was not going to hear that until you almost proved yourself to her.
Yeah, that's what I got.
You know, I'm gonna give you this right here. And then I'm going to have to get out of here. I was with my group. At that time, I had a group called Chicago Paranormal Research Institute. And then the reason I got the group together is because, not because I didn't want proof there was spirits. I already knew there was, you know, spirits. But I knew there were other people who were looking for that answer. So I wanted to help them find the answer they were looking for, but you know, find it their way. We became very, very close. They're almost like family. And we used to go out together, and I used to host an event at a place called Casa Madrid, but it's actually called Big Timers. It's in Melrose Park. And I used to host overnight events there regularly. So after each event, we would go out, maybe to a bar down the street or out to eat. And this was after a big successful event, and we went out. And I had a member, you know, because it's always good to have one skeptic in your group, if you have a group, who's going to question things, because sometimes because we know about the spirit, you know, we'll find, you know, listen, this is what this is. Well, this person wants to break it down, and that's good, and sometimes you need to hear that sometimes. So I had a skeptic in the group, and actually when we got done, he was no longer a skeptic, but sometimes I have the tendencies of walking up to people and telling them things that maybe I shouldn't. This was about one particular time it happened. I was outside and I was smoking. There was a huge black man standing a little ways from me in the bar, you know, outside the bar. And I was compelled, and he didn't look sad or anything. He was smoking a cigarette, you know, he was a big man. I was compelled to walk to this man, and I said to him, you know, you need to stop what you're doing because you're going to end up giving someone something they don't want. Now, I could have probably got the shit beat out of me for saying something like that. He could have perceived that really bad, okay? So he actually perceived it, you know, curiously, you know, like, what are you talking about? So I began to tell him, you know, I see you being very promiscuous in very experimental ways. And I didn't want to come out and say, dude, I see you, you know, having sexual, you know, interludes with men. You know, I didn't want to just say that. I was trying to be as not forward as possible. But when I said to him, I said, you know, I see you experimenting. And this is not even something that your nature is telling you to do. This is something that you're experimenting with. Because here's the crazy part. You are in love with someone who is a female. And that's all I had to say. He practically broke down in tears. This huge, huge man, huge big black man. And I said, your mother is not always white, right about everything she tells you. And he was like, oh, my God. You know, he's like practically screaming. And he's like, are you an angel? I said, no, I'm not an angel. That's for damn sure. I said, he's like, you know, I can't believe, you know. And he says to me, can I hug you? And I said, of course you can hug me, you know. And I said, I don't know what made me come over here to tell you this, but obviously you need to slow down or stop what you're doing because it's starting to get out of hand. And I see something really bad happening to the person that you love, you know, the most. And it's going to be something that you're not going to be able to take care of. You're not going to be able to take it away, you know. When we got done, that man went in there and told everybody who listened to him, not exactly what I told him, but the nature of what I, you know, the serious nature of the conversation. I had a line at my table. I told them, listen, I didn't come here for that. You know, I had my member was really pissed at me. He said, listen, you cannot go to bars and do this with people. Because people don't come to bars to hear their problems or something. You can't keep doing this. But I say that because you felt compelled to tell this woman that. And that's what happened with me. I felt compelled. I was not going to be able to walk away from that. There was no way I could turn back around and go in there and just ignore what my whole entire body was screaming for me to tell this man that he had to hear. You know, there was other things that I told him as well, but that was the brunt of what I needed to tell him. I can definitely relate to, you know, having to say something uncomfortable to someone. And sometimes that needs to happen. So I understand exactly what you're saying, Dennis.
Well, the scariest part for me is I'm still not 100% comfortable in what I can do.
And you know what? You may never be. But you know what? It sounds to me like you're handling it the way you're supposed to because you are delivering the messages when you need to. And, you know, just that comes with time. And you may never be. I'm not completely comfortable with it either. I don't know if anybody really is. You have to admit it's a very odd thing that we're able to do. It's not, you know, something of the norm. So to be a little uncomfortable, I think it's safe. I think you have every reason to feel that way. But you need to know that it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You bring comfort to people. And if nothing else, that's a blessing. It is a blessing.
But it's still
okay,
terrifying.
Okay, guys, I have to get out of here. But I have my daughter coming at my door.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ursula.
I am so sorry I had to cut it short. My grandchildren came, and I was not aware that they were coming this evening. But I would definitely love to be back when we can spend more time.
No, we got Mondays and Wednesdays. So any time you want to come back, door is wide open for you, dear.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I do want to mention regarding two events that's coming up I'm very excited about. One is going to be at the Bell Nursing Home in Ohio, and that's going to be a two-day event. It's August 23rd and 24th, and that's in Killington, Ohio. And if you are my Facebook friend, you'll be seeing a post regarding that sometime this week, or if not, early next week. This location is fabulous. It's a 14,000 square foot facility. The original house was built in 1800s. It was a funeral home, a nursing home, and a family home as well. And I've been given permission for the first time to do a séance there, so I'm very excited about that. And also, in November, the 16th, back at the Rhodes Hotel that I do events there frequently, Ed Shanahan and myself will be doing joining up to do an event there as well. And that's actually was posted tonight about that. So that's what's going on with me. Oh, and the Bachelor's Grove movie, I have a little thing going on in the movie. I'm very excited about that, and I'm going to be in one of the scenes. So I'm really stoked about that. Other than that, nothing much going on.
Yeah, just those minor things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What part of Ohio is Carrollton in?
I have no idea. I've never been there. Matt, didn't you look this up or something?
Yeah. I'll look it up and.
I thought you
I
did.
Will.
No. Okay.
Hold on.
Anyway, I
look
it
up right now. Oh,
okay.
And on Monday night show on End of the Darkness Radio, we had Daniel Hoven, and he said that he thinks that Ohio is probably one of the most haunted states that he's ever been to.
I've heard that before. I've never been to this location. I am very excited about it. The claims are just amazing. And the history, I mean, you know, the history of the location. I mean, 1800, that's very impressive. The building there, you know.
Yeah. Now,
I'm very excited about it.
I think Carrollton is up in the northeast portion, but I'm not 100% certain. But the reason that I asked, for some of the listeners that may be in Pennsylvania, you know, it's certainly much easier for them to get to that than it is over in the Northwest.
Absolutely. And also the Rhodes was established in 1893, and that's in Atlanta, Indiana. And that event is the November 16th. That has an amazing history. Al Capone said to have been slept there at one time or the other. I'm sorry, Matt, did you find out?
Yeah, it's actually from Akron. It's southeast. It's closer to Canton, Ohio.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's up in the Akron, Canton, Cuyahoga Falls, Cleveland area. It's in the northwest corner of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. My son lives there in Akron. So maybe I can get him to come to the event.
Yeah, it's directly east. Like, literally directly east of Dover.
Okay.
Or New Philadelphia. Or it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that sounds about accurate, yeah.
So if you're anywhere close to Northeast Ohio, by all means, what was the name of the school again, Ursula?
Oh, it's the Bell Nursing Home.
Oh, nursing home, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're anywhere up in that neck of the woods, you know, near Carrollton, Ohio, by all means, go meet Ursula. Go check out the investigation, check out the location.
Absolutely.
Like
it'll be posted in a few days on my, the information will be posted on my site and also the Bell Nursing Home site as well on Facebook. And it'll also be on their website where you can purchase tickets and things of that nature. And also the roads. Okay. Hope to see you guys.
Well, there you go.
It has been a pleasure, as I knew it would be, and I would definitely come back when I don't have a house load of kids.
Go have fun with the family.
Yeah, and you're welcome back anytime. That's why I don't really book guests more than like a week out, just so it stays fresh. I mean, and if somebody cancels, anybody's always welcome. So.
All right, I'm going to take you up on that.
All right, Ursula, dear. You have a good night.
You too. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, darling. So, that was definitely interesting. I mean, some of the points that she brought up, like I said, I'm just starting to understand some of the abilities that I have. Some of the points that she brought up certainly helped me to understand what the hell is going on? And she's dealt with it for a long time. And I do apologize for having missed the first half hour of the show, but did you catch how long she's dealt with disability?
Yeah, and that was one of the points that I asked her too when before you came on, is she's been dealing with it since she was a kid, or she's been around it since she was a kid, because she comes from a long line of family members who are or have abilities. So they really started to come out, and her acceptance of it in the last like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, I caught her one statement that. Now, in the truck, of course, I have America's Most Reliable Network. I won't name them, but, I think they use the term reliable pretty damn loosely. So I caught
Verizon.
I caught. they're not a sponsor. Of course, we don't have any sponsors, but I don't want them as one either. So. I won't even mention their flipping name. But one of the things that she said was everything comes to her in a thought, and then she has this, well, why in the hell would I be thinking that? I certainly wouldn't be thinking to myself, I'm wiping my ass too hard. Well, that's kind of the way I get mine. I get this thought that I know it can't be my own. It's got to be from somewhere else. Now, I mean, when I first started getting these thoughts, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, God, I'm way too young to be losing my flipping mind. And then the thoughts started to actually make sense, and they started to be valid information. Well, if you get valid information out of nowhere, just out of a thought that, doesn't have jack shit to do with anything about you, then there's got to be some validity to it. And that was where I started realizing that, okay, well, son of a bitch, I obviously have some abilities. No, supposedly we all do. Whether we accept them, how we perceive them, how we receive them, is each and every individual to their own. But that actually made a lot of sense to me, the way that she put it, that when it comes to me in a thought, and once I started trusting the thoughts, then, and that's what I'm having the issue with now. And I mean, there are some times that I just go, okay, this is what's coming, and I just, I mean, I can sit and spill shit, like I did with you in Albury and Happy Road. You know, I just started spilling shit that came to me, just left and right. And there's other times that I hold shit back and go, man, that just doesn't make sense. It just sounds lunatic. I mean, they're going to fucking wrap me up in bubble wrap and stick me in a bubble wrap room. But
well,
to know that I'm not the only one, you know, a damn sure helped me.
Here's a question that I have as far as that goes, because, I mean, that's why I kind of wanted to make it a valid point and a vivid point of, if this is not something you want to do, don't fucking do it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and that, you know, I told you that many times. You know,
and,
well, let's see.
And both and, you and I got yelled at.
Yeah. Well, I got yelled at because I invited you to stick a toe in the door, and you got yelled at because you stuck a toe in the door.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have an option. This is either an all or nothing thing. And, you know, if you choose to hear spirit, then that's what you do. If you choose not to, then that's what you do. But you don't choose that, okay, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I will listen to spirit. Because let me tell you, on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, they will bug the ever-loving shit out of you. And on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, they will ignore you. Why? Because you're trying to make them conform to your schedule. It's not going to happen. Spirit has its own schedule. It does what it wants. I don't care if it is the sweetest old lady in the world that you're trying to communicate with. She's going to be an absolute crotchety bitch when you disturb her as spirit, and she doesn't want to be. That I have found. So either dive into it, or there's no sticking your toe in the water and testing with, you know, being able to talk to spirit. There's no toe test. But
you know,
I will say this. It has definitely been an enlightening situation for me. It's also been a very scary, and I do mean very scary, just, you know, just like the young lady that I was talking about a moment ago that I had to talk to. Nobody wants to bring up things like that about somebody's past. But she kept pushing me to give her something that she could actually bite onto and believe. And I don't know how to say this. I didn't just get told the information. I saw some rather vivid images that I had to tell I don't want. Now, that may sound odd, but, you know, just like the night that you were out on Cherry Road, the images that I saw there were fairly pleasant right up until I got punched in the flipping nose. That one I didn't like. The images that I saw the other night I didn't like either. But I can't tell spirit in advance what I will or will not see because I don't know what the hell they're going to throw at me. So that gives you a little insight to what it's like to be on this side.
Yeah, And with that said, it's not, and I see friends and stuff go through it. It's not fucking glamorous. You're not going to win the goddamn lottery.
No.
You know, go ahead.
One thing I will tell you, and after I started realizing my own abilities, I've spoken to a half dozen very strong and very noted psychics. Do you know the one thing they all say? Every last one of them I've spoken with, and I've spoken with, hell, probably a dozen. We cannot read ourselves. We can't tell you what day you're going to die. We can't tell you how you're going to die. We can't tell you lottery numbers because that goes against blind luck. So, yeah, don't ask them what are tonight's lottery numbers. We don't know. And 9 out of 10, if you ask me, give me a lucky number, I'm going to tell you 69 because you can't tell me that's not a lucky number.
Oh. if you're getting lucky, 69 works out quite well.
There you go. Hey, on a different note, do you mind if I change up because this seems to be going downhill?
No, change. Okay. I did have an honest to God like wow question, but yeah, just go ahead. Well, no, I've been on the fence about asking you this the whole
just
time even before you called in.
Just ask me the damn question.
All right, from where, the situation that you were in today and what you did as far as, like, funeral at the church and then at the cemetery, as far as a psychic goes, and this is why I've been on the fence, because I know it's fresh. I know it's kind of a dick
just
question
ask.
To ask.
Just ask.
Did you happen to, like, did anything come through? Like, were there other people that you noticed were trying to reach out or was it one of those things like I have my guard up, I had my shields up, I had everything and you were in the moment?
Well, I was with family. I was with friends. Did I sense things around me? Yes. Did I sense energies? Yes. Did they bother me? No. And I'll tell you why I think they didn't. They know the somber emotions and they understand why you're where you're at. Now, if I go back there to the cemetery tomorrow just on a whim, will I be approached? Good likelihood. Today, did I sense presences? Kind of, but I wasn't open to them. And I think they knew that. They knew that I was focusing on the family. For those that don't know, my son-in-law's father just passed away on Friday. 71 years old, this man was truly larger than life. I mean, he had an outgoing, gregarious personality. He was also one of those that his filter was circumcised at birth. The boys only had four sons. Honey, how old is Junior? 46. And his youngest son is 25, 26. So he had four boys with a spread of 20 years apart. It was 46, 37, 26, and 27. All
potent
four
man.
Of the boys.
I said he was a potent man.
Huh?
Potent.
Yeah.
Fertility.
He
20 years.
He liked the ladies. He liked the ladies. And of course, you know, anytime that you're at a gathering for somebody that's passed, there's always going to be the stories. There's always going to be the stories. I remember the one time, or, you know, he told me this at one time. I think one of my favorite ones tonight, listening to the boys talk, he was definitely a Southern gentleman. Country as country could be. Most of the people that saw him laid to rest in the casket today in a suit were like, well, why in the hell isn't he in a T-shirt, cut-off sleeves, and suspenders? That's what they'd always known him in. Well, it just, I don't know. I mean, the second oldest son actually reached in and into the casket and loosened his tie prior to them closing the casket because they knew he didn't want to be in a tie. But one of the best stories was, you know, Dad never spoke ill in front of a woman. He would always bite his tongue. Even though his filter was broken, he would always bite his tongue in front of a woman. But I asked him, I told him one day, and this is the youngest son talking about the next oldest, hey, Dad, seems that John has an issue pleasing a woman. Oh, hell. Well, the youngest son is my daughter's husband now. They were only dating at the time. Well, Will did that simply thinking it was would leave his dad kind of stumped because Ashley was present. And he wouldn't get out of line talking because a woman was present. He said, son, one thing I want you to understand, you always have to make sure your partner's happy before you get happy. It might be a race, and the first one to cross the finish line is the winner, but I'll tell you what, if you cross the finish line first, you might be the winner in that race, but I'll be damned if you'll get to run in another one later. and it just, I mean, that was just him. I mean, he just gregarious. I will say one thing. I've known the man about 6 years. One thing that he proved to me in that short time, and I'd only met Floyd 3, 4, maybe 5 times at most. One thing he proved to me, I never saw that man without a smile. I never saw him without being happy. I never saw him when he was pissed off, and I'm sure there were times he was. He was a roofer for most of his life. But he taught me that what's today, I'll deal with. What's tomorrow, I ain't got to worry about yet. What's yesterday? Well, it's past. Deal with what you got right now. Make the best out of it and move on. The boys actually relayed a story tonight that while he was in the hospital, he was cracking jokes and everything to make them happy that he was there, even while he was there. So, he was one of those people that no matter how bad your day is going, you have to laugh and smile around him because he was just that damn happy about no matter what. If we could have a whole damn world filled with those people, we wouldn't have this bullshit that we have now in this world. So with that being said, I do want to say this. Rest in peace, Floyd Hall Sr. You were a damn good guy.
Yeah, and
oh, by the way, now this is country, brother. Where I'm at, people will drive past a funeral procession, they'll cut in one, all of that bullshit. Now, there was a UPS truck pulled over to the side today, there was a tractor trailer pulled over to the side today, there was a cement truck pulled over to the side. People sat at intersection. We didn't have a police escort. Well, actually, we had a police car with his lights in the very front, but once he cleared the intersection and the funeral started, everybody stopped. Take a moment. Think about the family and the friends that are in a funeral procession. Your life is not that damn important that you're going to miss 5 minutes of anything. Pull over. Do the right thing. Show your respect. Pull over. And let them pass.
Yeah,
but I actually saw that today for the first time in a long damn time. And I was actually a little bit uplifted by the fact that there are still some decent humans in this world that do shit like that.
Yeah, your boss isn't going to be so pissed off because there was a funeral procession and you were 5 minutes late.
Yeah, I mean,
and the shit at Walmart's still going to be there when you get there. So
yeah, trust me, there's a Walmart truck running up and down the road every five flipping minutes, so they're not going to be out of stock when you get there. I promise that. But it was really cool. Now, here's another thing that will tell you this was a country funeral. And I'm going to throw out a couple of shameless plugs here, simply because they're well warranted. Now, this was in a little town called Jarrett, Virginia. Granny's Fried Chicken donated probably 100 pieces of fried chicken to the social gathering after the funeral. The local Pizza Hut donated pizza and wings and breadsticks and God knows what. God, what else was it? Oh, Blimpy Subs. The local Blimpy Sub franchise donated subs. I mean, it was just amazing. The outpouring from the local businesses for this local family that's been there all their lives. Now, for those of you that have had a loved one pass away, most definitely my condolences. But can you tell me one location, one restaurant, one anything that did anything to help you, you know, like, I guess, foster the fellowship of family and friends after the passing of a loved one? Because I can't tell you the last time that I was at a funeral or, you know, a viewing where there was food donated by local restaurants. I just thought that was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely agree. And for sure, if you are a local business, it's definitely a good cause because if you haven't dealt with a direct passing and what the cost is, it's like now it's becoming astronomical. So over the years, costs go up, stuff like that. And yeah, if you're a local business, you can actually have the ability to change a single family's life.
Well, I mean, it isn't the fact that, you know, $50 or $100 worth of food, whatever the case may be, is that major. But the simple fact that you show your respect and your love for your community, oh my God. I mean, I've got to say, it was one of the most amazing things that I have seen in years. Now, I grew up in Northwest Ohio. It was corn country. If you had somebody pass away, I mean, local businesses would do that. When I moved to Richmond, I was so disheartened by people that will pass a funeral procession. They actually have to hire law enforcement to block an intersection to let a funeral procession go through. And the first time I saw it, I thought, wow, it must have been an officer of the past. And then, no, it turned out that it was just some individual, but people here are in such a rush. And I mean, I've got to say, I mean, it was very moving to me emotionally just to realize that people will pull over to the side of the road, stop their car, and let a funeral procession pass still. Now, I realize, and part of it, now, my wife has only ever been in two funeral processions in her life, and today was number two. All right. I realize there is no, you know, in high school, you don't get funeral procession etiquette 101. But I thought that was kind of a old school thinking, and that's what you did. Well, the first time here that I had a funeral procession come at me and I pulled my truck kind of off the road and stopped, God, I had people driving by me, blowing the horn, flipping me the bird and everything else, and I'm like, oh, you rude sons of bitches. You're going to disrespect that funeral procession like that. And, I mean, they're passing the hearse. They don't care. Oh, just, but to see it today, I mean, it definitely moved me. But, yeah, well, I didn't really lighten the mood a whole hell of a lot with this story, did I?
No, but you definitely created a valid point that I think everybody should honestly be aware of is, hey, you know what? If you were in that procession and some dickhead cut in front of you, you'd be pissed off.
Yeah. Well, I want you to understand this. And this was the way that I felt today. The man that was in the back of that hearse that I was following from the church to the cemetery was a very dear friend. And each and every one of the vehicles that I saw that pulled to the side of the road and stopped, gave me just a little more feeling of that's why I'm going through what I'm going through, is to pay respect for that man. So it just gave me a little more pride in the fact that I got to know that man. But each of the people that drove right on by and didn't pull over for a funeral, the first thing that I felt was, you disrespectful son of a bitch. That was just me. Now, I don't know. If you drive past a funeral procession, that's your choice. If your life is so hectic and everything is so important that you can't take a couple of minutes to pull to the shoulder and pay your respects to the family and friends of someone that's passed away, that's your choice. I can't get out and bust your windshield and kick your ass or, you know, cuss you out or anything. But I'm certainly going to have a little less positive thought about you as I drive by. With my hazards on, with my headlights on, going to lay somebody to rest. So just think about that, folks. Now, on a bright note, and I've got to do this because otherwise it'll just, we'll just keep going downhill. On
yeah,
a bright note.
3 minutes and 45 seconds left, so.
Oh, well, the funeral was followed by a fellowship at the local hunt club. I managed to take two of the four sons off to the back end of the sand pits. We dropped 250 rounds of 40 cal downrange. Smith and Wesson, I will tell you right now, I'm kind of pissed off at you. When you send a gun out that's brand new in the box, have the son of a bitch sight it in. Because we were, now, two of us are marksmen. The third one is very good with a weapon. And not a damn one of us could hit within 3 inches on the original factory setting. So I had to field adjust the sights, and then it worked well. But Smith and Wesson, get your shit together, sight them in before they leave the factory.
How's
that,
that a break?
Here's a shameless, with that said, here's a shameless plug. Trigicon night sights will be installed on my Smith & Wesson M&P 40 by the end of the week, and it will be laser bore sighted. But I got to tell you, putting 250 rounds downrange felt so damn good.
Yeah, I think I'm going shooting tomorrow. So 12-gauge trap shooting.
Oh, there you go.
I have about 125 rounds sitting here right now that are just begging. Like, I hear them out of the drawer and out of the case screaming, saying, yeah, I do not want to be in this case anymore.
Now, by the way,
real quick, I have to say, since we're coming down about a minute and a half, thank you to Ursula Kalen. It's always a pleasure, dear. I just hold the highest regard for you. If I can make it to both events, I will. Dennis, thank you for especially how stressful and everything your day was. I, you know, no problem at all with you being tardy. It's completely understandable. And I love you, man.
I don't get
love
demerit
your family,
points.
You know that.
I don't get demerit points for being tardy.
Nah, maybe you do. Yes, you do.
No, I don't give a shit.
But yeah, that just thank you, man. I mean, definitely after the day that you've had, I don't know if I could be doing what you're doing right now. So, just you know, the heart out to you and family and everything. So. Thank you, Ursula. Hope to have you back soon. Thank you, Dennis. I don't know how you do it, man. You amaze me every day.
Yeah. Life moves on, brother. Life moves on. Here's one thing to always remember. Tomorrow morning, ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up, make sure to tell your loved ones you love them. My dear friend that passed was from a tick bite. Got Rocky Mountain spotted fever, in the past from a tick bite. So you never know what the hell is going to happen. Tell your friends you love them. Tell your family you love them. Never miss that opportunity. We love you for listening. We thank you for listening. And join us next week. And
archive.
That throws us into archive.
Yes, it does.
CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, Facebook and Twitter, ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, Facebook. Get with us. Now, on to our open forum session. The funniest fucking part of the day. The four sons of Floyd Jr., or Floyd Sr., Floyd Jr.'s daughter is 19. She has never shot before. So when we all get together, and I've got two of the sons that are going to go shoot with me and one of their girlfriends, and one of the sons looks at me and goes, "Hey, man, can you go with us?" I said, "I don't give a shit. Come on, darling. Jump in the truck. Let's go shoot some shit." You have to understand, John, the second, I'm not sure if John's older or younger than the baby. He may be the baby. He might be the second oldest or second youngest. I don't know. Kind of irrelevant. Anyway, he is a two-tour Iraq veteran. He showed me a picture of the tank that he was in that was IED'd. He showed me a picture of the Humvee. Well, at least I think that's what that big pile of shit was. He said it was his Humvee, but it was a big tan piece of blobbed up shit that I couldn't really identify. And he said, "I've been blown up three fucking times in Iraq. I'm more scared of the fact that you just handed my niece a gun." Why? And at this point, she's waving him around like it's a fucking baton, going, "What the hell do I do?" And so, John, I look, and the fucking weapon's pointed back at us. He's like, downrange, bring it downrange.
Yeah, cocked and loaded, ready to go.
Oh, it had one in the pipe and 14 in the magazine.
There could have been a shit ton more funerals going on and next week.
So I come up behind her and I'm like, "Okay, here's what we're going to do." And, you know, I put my arms out and I'm showing her where to put her hands. You know, I've got my arms reached around her and everything. She fires off the first round. Now, I'm firing lawman rounds, which are 165 grain solid ball. They're loud. She fires off that first round. The gun kicks like hell. She spins around and goes, "Holy shit!" And she's got the weapon still in her hand and points.
fucking pointed at us.
John goes, downrange. He dives behind me. I'm like, "Don't dive behind me, God damn it! I'm the CPR certified. I'm the certified medic, for fuck's sake." At one point, I'm expecting him to go belly down, and he's ducking and covering. And he's like, "Damn it, why are you doing that?" And, oh, my God, it was hilarious. But, I mean, we had a blast. We taught her proper use, where to aim the damn thing, where not to aim the damn thing. But I will tell you, 165 grain, the rounds were actually, they're called lawmen. They're loud as shit. There is some boon to them. But I did discover additionally, Federal produces one called Hydra Shock. Now, part of our targeting was I took a 2x4, I cut the V shape in it, I drove it in the ground, I drew circles on it with Sharpie, and we shot at the fat side of a 2x4. That was interesting. Typically, the round would just rip through the 2x4 and leave a small hole in the front and a slightly larger hole in the back. However, then I decide I want to see what the Federal Hydra Shocks will do. Now, I realize that most people here have no clue what the hell the different ammunitions are. So, I will give you a brief idea. Hydra Shock is a hollow point with a little stinger button in the middle that is designed to help the round expand on impact. Well, I put one round in the chamber. I moved around to the side of the 2x4, so I'm shooting at the narrow side. At about 25 feet away, I shot the 2x4 dead center on the narrow side. The first 1 inch of the 2x4 had the hole just the size of a bullet. The other, a 2x4 is actually 3.5 inches wide. The first 1 inch of it had that small hole out of the 3.5. The other 2 inches, I made toothpicks. There wasn't jack shit left.
Yeah, they're dropping off.
But we just had a blast. So overall, I think there were, well, let's see, I took down 250, 350. I took down almost 400 rounds of ammo. Some of the ammo was already drawn out of the boxes and everything to fill my magazines. So I didn't have full boxes. I only have 2 magazines for my weapon. Out of the nearly 400 rounds we fired, we fired right about 250 rounds downrange. And I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you are having a stressful day, if you are pissed off at the boss, if your car died, if you got a speeding ticket, if I don't care what's going on, go out in the woods, go to a legal shooting range, shoot shit, and you'll have a blast. Trust me, it will relieve a buttload of stress.
Yeah, there ain't nothing like shooting for a stress reliever.
Always remember, eyes and ears, safety glasses and earplugs. Or, you know, if you're like us and you forget your earplugs, shove a bullet in each ear. Just don't, you know, let anybody hit you with a hammer. I'm not shitting, brother. Fucking bullets stuck in her ears because I forgot earplugs for everybody.
My hillbilly brother.
You might be a redneck if.
Yeah, no shit, right?
I laughed till I damn near cried, man. Now, you have to understand that I come from a law enforcement background. One of the brothers that was out there shooting us is no longer in the military, but had been. He did two tours in Iraq, very well, properly trained with firearms, now law enforcement. The other one does not have military or law enforcement background, but his whole flipping family is law enforcement. So he's been trained from the time he was a little tyke to play with guns. So, yeah, I mean, we, you know, we did the walk and shoot. We did the draw from the hip. Just had an absolute blast. Water bottles filled with water, and they just kind of detonate when you hit them with a 155 grain round.
Yeah,
we just had a blast, man. We had a blast. So, on a different note, what do we have scheduled for Monday on Into the Darkness Radio, Matt?
It is kind of up in the air at the moment.
Sweet.
We might have Kim back on. So talk about the book, all that stuff.
Then
we may have Scott back on. I don't know.
Scott Gerhardt. Now, which Scott?
Scott Grunewald.
Scott Gerhardt, Scott Grunewald. Oh,
Scott Grunewald.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to, we're going to have to end the show because I have to call a different Scott, who is the one that is running the Parafest in Pennsylvania in September.
Now, that's the one that you and I are going to, right?
Yes, that and that's what we have to discuss some details. So we'll figure that out. But I'm also going to talk to him about possibly, or I planted the seed about being on the show on Monday.
Okay.
So, and also keep an eye out because I've been talking to Daniel Hooven, who's going to, and I'm going to be doing the same thing, posting the archive of him being on the show, because that was something that we had just a great, great, great conversation. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. Check that one out in archive. Speaking of archive, which we're in right now, but Tuesday, Dennis, are you free on Tuesday night?
Why?
Tuesday is the 1 year anniversary of Terrify Radio. And talking with Kevin.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, talking with Kevin, he wants everybody on. So,
yes. Now, if you're not familiar, he wants everybody from Blog Talk Radio, all the hosts, and he wants any of you that have been guests on our show in the past, would, you know, if you would like to call in, you are certainly more than welcome to. But all of the Blog Talk Radio hosts and hostesses, Well, as many as we can possibly get together anyway, will be on air. I promise you, I've listened to pretty much all of the programs. There's a few that are really off the hook. And when you get all of us crazy SOBs in one program, no. It's well worth your money, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, wait, doesn't cost a damn thing, does it?
It's fucking free.
There you go. Where in the hell else can you get this kind of entertainment for that price?
And
FRE.
And you can DVR Ghost Hunters. Well, wait, that's Wednesday. That's during our show. Never mind. Fuck
yeah,
that.
That's, yeah. Fuck
there's nothing. There isn't a damn thing on Tuesdays. There's nothing worth watching. Yes, next Tuesday will be the one-year anniversary of Terrify Radio with Kevin, who runs Unknown Radio Network, and from Paranormal Hot Squad, the amazing Jody Parks herself. She'll probably be doing some burping. There'll be...
That's the best you can do for adjectives is amazing. One, you suck
at
this.
Open up
your damn thesaurus.com and get this shit right.
just wait till the fucking promo on Facebook, okay?
Oh, all right. Now you're going to cuss me about it. I see how it is.
All right. Do you want me to give her more of a promo to trump the ones that I've done for you? No. Come on.
Well, I mean, she's certainly a hell of a lot hotter than I am. I mean, I've seen me for shit's sake. Trust me, folks. That is not what you want to roll over next to in the morning. However, Jody, never mind. Continue, sir.
I'll just leave it at that.
I am so bad. God, I hate me. Some days I absolutely hate me. I am an asshole. But you know what? I like it that way. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to join us Tuesday. Same time. 8 to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. I don't know what it is on the left coast.
It's 6 to 8.
Yeah, they're usually stoned anyway, like they can read a clock. You know, on the left coast, for God's sake.
You know what? If I lived there, I wouldn't look at the fucking time either. No, let's just be honest.
Well, if I lived on a coast, period, I wouldn't care what the hell the clock said.
You do, dumbass.
Well, no, Rich, dumbass.
It's like an hour drive from the Atlantic, so shut the fuck up. I have Lake Michigan.
No, I am an hour and a half away from, like, anything worth a shit at an actual coast. Now, I can go to a shitload of the inlets and everything in an hour, but it's an hour and a half to 2 hours, and that depends on if the dumbasses down that direction can pull their head out of the sunrise or sunset long enough to keep the vehicle from slamming the next poor bastard in the butt.
Yeah, well, I have, let's see, probably about a 30-hour if I go west, and I have probably about a 15-hour if I go east. So
no, sir. No, sir. If you go east, and trust me, I know this. I've been here. I've been there. It's 940 miles, and you can do it in 10.5 hours. So if we add the other hour and a half or so that it takes us to get to the beach, then you're only like 11 hours away. So, yeah, let's not play that 15 hours bullshit.
Yeah, right? moral of the story, you're fucking closer.
Well, duh. But, all right, so ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoy our show, and I certainly hope you do, or our ratings wouldn't be so damn nice, make sure to join us. Make sure to join all of us off of the Unknown Radio Network Tuesday night. Same location.
Yeah, are you losing your mind right now? Okay, join us Tuesday night for Terrify Radio with the infamous Jody Parks. Never know what the fuck is going to come out of her mouth. And Kevin, a.k.a. Spirit Casper. So hopefully his mom is doing better, for sure. I know she's home now and has been resting and everything. So, but, yeah, it will be from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 to 11 Eastern Time, 6 to 8 Pacific, or specific if you're a fan of comedy and you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be just absolutely nuts. And Dennis, correct me if I'm wrong, but tell me, with the guests that we have had that have become dear, dear friends of ours, are we for sure not going to bring the crazy if the guests have time to call in?
Oh, God.
Well, that depends on if, one, if their therapists agree that they can, and two, if their staff lets them out of the gag and straitjackets. That's pretty much the type of people that we've had.
Yeah, we're going to bring, in a good way, mind you, we're not saying that these people are crazy and up in a bad way. So, but anyway, on that note, thank you all. Dennis, man, love you. And
love
you
too,
bro. We will see you on Monday on Into the Darkness, full spectrum style. So, good night, everybody. See you soon.
Everybody, sweet dreams. Make sure to tell your loved ones that you do love them. We'll catch you Monday night. Thanks for joining us. It's been a blast. We ain't right, by the way. But we're good with that.
I never am.
Peace out.